Jesse Allen here, catching up with Arlen Suderman of Stone X. Arlen, as we look at the grain trade here so far on this Friday, soybeans started off leading the complex here throughout the overnight and into the morning, and we're seeing beans push a little higher, although we're just off session highs so far today. What's going on with the strength in this soy complex today?
Yeah, you know, the whole complex started off strong with positive money flow overnight into the commodity sector, and then that money flow really started to wane as we got into the day trading here in the United States. It's as if the overseas traders had more confidence in our markets than what our U.S. traders do. But soybeans are that commodity that's kind of hung on. They're one of the commodities that have hung on to their strength. But even that is starting to lose a little bit of momentum right now. And I think the key for soybeans providing strength is, hey, they got the tightest fundamentals, the strongest fundamentals of any of the major ag commodities right now. We're basically rationing supplies and supply levels because of tight stocks, rationing demand, and look to be in that position for the next year. So it has that appearance to the funds of being very attractive. But what's causing the pressure going into the weekend is we're bumping up against the 1440 level on the charts, which has been a real problem for the lead contract now for quite some time. We first bumped up against that level back in January, and we have probed above it a few times, but have simply been unable to sustain a move above that 1440 level. So that's a pretty significant, and actually I would say 1438 is the more significant level. So 1438, 1440 right in there. And so this is a real testing period. Traders not having the courage to push through ahead of the weekend, maybe want to come back on Monday and reassess.
Now, corn and wheat are falling off a little bit here as we work through a trading session. What is causing the pressure in the corn and wheat markets here on Friday?
New highs for the move, multi-year highs for corn on Thursday, a little bit of profit taking going into the weekend, not knowing how the weather forecasts might change in either United States or Brazil. We are seeing some increased chances for showers in the dry southern half of the Brazil Safrinha corn belt as we get into a week from now, showing up in the models today, kind of facilitating that pre-weekend profit taking. And when you look at wheat, they're kind of going hand in hand there. Watching real closely for freeze threat in the southern plains, particularly the southwestern plains, as we go into the next 5 days, that the models today showing that we should be able to get by without any notable damage, but we'll be reassessing that again on Sunday night and looking at that because the models have been tending to miss the low temperatures by 3 to 5 degrees of late, and they're already forecasting very marginal levels for some of the wheat in southern Kansas going down into western Oklahoma. So it'll be a close call, but going into the weekend right now, we're seeing some profit taking.
And real briefly, it looks like a mixed day in cattle and hogs here as we kind of wrap up the week. Any notes there that we need to pay attention to?
I think disappointment in the cash cattle trade this week. I mean, we've been steady to firm. I think the trade was hoping for more strength, and we're simply not seeing it. We're seeing some signs maybe of topping of the product values. Demand has been strong. We're at very high altitudes right now with these product prices. And overall, this meat complex is getting to a point where maybe we need to consolidate and reassess the demand, make sure it justifies going to higher levels from those levels.
That's comments with Arlen Suderman of Stone X. Coming up this afternoon, we'll talk with Mike Pearson. He will catch up with us as we'll recap the day's market trade. We'll also have a special interview with Kurt Blades of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. That's coming up here this afternoon on our episode of Market Talk. Right now, though, another special feature we are going to segue into it is our April Progressive Agriculture Foundation safety message with Jana Davidson here on Market Talk. And we're being joined now by our good friend Jana Davidson with the Progressive Agriculture Foundation for our April safety message. Jana, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jesse. It's beautiful out. Spring is finally here. How about you?
I'm doing great as well. I tell you what, spring is definitely here, in my opinion. I know cold snap in some parts of the country here right now, but nothing too major. And I'm definitely got spring fever, which is a good thing, I think, Jana.
Yes, I definitely think it is a good thing. I like to be outdoors, and seeing that sun shining out my window right now is making me happy.
Yeah. Well, and it also makes our kids happy because, you know, they're going to be spending time outdoors here as we get to springtime. And that fits right in with the topic we have here for this month. And that's how safe is the space where your children go to play? And, you know, Jana, I think about this, whether they're at school, whether it's the playground, whatever the case may be, with, I know, with COVID, and that makes things a little bit different still, or if they're at home or if they're on the farm, having that safe place to play is very important. Let's talk about this a little bit, Jana.
Definitely. It is really important. And one thing to keep in mind this year, or this spring, out of any other years in the past, kids are itching to get out and play and enjoy, because if you think about what happened last year around this time, this is when everything started to shut down from March on. So their normal activities have all been delayed in a sense. And now that the weather is getting nicer, they have been cooped up all winter. Maybe they're still schooling at home, and that has also given them more reasons to want to get outside and explore and play. But also, when they're doing that, they can tend to get into some areas they shouldn't be. And, you know, whether we're talking about on the farm, maybe we are bringing some children to our farm, maybe our children's friends are coming over, and they have no idea about how busy of a workplace the farm can be, especially during spring planting. So we really want to keep that in mind when we're having others visit the farm, as well as just having those conversations with our kids. Even though they're around the farm every day, are they able to understand, you know, what is safe and what is unsafe? And, you know, I think about, you know, when we take our children, nieces, nephews, anyone to our local parks, or you even mentioned the school, we trust that play area is going to be safe for them. We trust that our children, you know, are going to have that safe space to play. But we also need to take that into account in our own backyard.
Very true. Well, let's focus more on the backyard and focus on, you know, around the farm, because I think that's something that a lot of our parents and farmers and et cetera, can control a little bit more. Talk about, as we create a safe space for children to play in, what are some things on the farm specifically that we should be concerned with?
Okay. Well, this list that I'm going to share with you, I do have to give a special shout out to our friends at the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, because they actually have a safe play area guide and tips for families to consider when they are creating or developing this space for their children. So I urge you to check that out. They're through Marshfield Clinic out of Marshfield, Wisconsin, and they have great resources on this topic. So I'm happy to share some of their tips and tricks with all of you. So a couple things to keep in mind. I mean, planning is key. You want to make sure that when you are creating this space, you're going to have limited exposure to hazards. Those include things like traffic, agricultural production, and even some environmental concerns. So that's really what you want to have in mind from the get-go. Some other things you want to have, and I always say, you know, we've always made the statement, make the, you know, play area more fun than the farm. And so things you want to have things that are fun and engaging, and have that at a space that's farther away from some of the dangerous and hazardous things I just mentioned. But you also want to be able to have vision on your child, be able to see them, have a responsible adult be able to supervise. So that's something you need to keep in mind. Make sure any of the activities or any of the design is developmentally appropriate for that child's age. So there are some things that I would say that children can grow into. So maybe you can either add on later, or, you know, like I just even think about swings, you know, what are the most appropriate swings for a younger child compared to what they can grow into? So keep those things in mind. As far as a few other things, you know, noise is also important. You know, the farm can be noisy. And so we always want to protect those children's ears, because It is shown that some damage to our ears from a young age can really catch up to us later on, and that can't be reversed. So, you know, thinking about things like keeping it out of areas where there is a lot of noise, where there's poor air quality is also important. And even shade. Shade is very important for children because they can have too much sun exposure if they're out there playing too. We want to keep them as safe as possible and, again, prevent anything like heat stroke or anything like that. We want to make sure that that play area has a physical boundary, so some sort of fence that is going to be in place so the child knows that when they're in there, that is their safe space. We also want to make sure that there's protective surface on the ground. So if they do fall, kids tend to fall. Even us adults tend to fall sometimes when we're playing, but we want to make sure it's a safe area. So when they do fall, they're able to bounce right back and they're not going to sustain any major injuries. These play areas should also have opportunities for children to, experience not only physical, but emotional, social, and intellectual development. So those are good things to keep in mind. And then as adults, we also want to make sure that we're making sure that they're well maintained. So, you know, making sure the grass is being mowed, snow is being removed. And we also want to, you know, just like we do with our equipment, make sure we're giving them a walkabout, make sure we're checking for any safety concerns on a regular basis. And that's even just a good tip to follow, even if it's not your own play area. Maybe you are out at a park or you're at your child's school and there is a safety concern. Bring that to an adult immediately. You know, don't let that go, because again, your child may now be aware that's an unsafe area or there's something wrong, but another child might not, and that could lead to an injury that we just don't want to see happen.
Well, and Jana, you know, we talk about injuries and we try to focus on the positives, but obviously there are negatives out there. And I know you shared some stats in the April newsletter that I thought were fairly staggering with children and agriculture related incidents. Like every 3 days, was it a child dies? That blew my mind, Jana.
Yeah, every 3 days a child dies due to an ag-related incident, and about every day 33 children seek medical attention because of an ag-related incident. So those are sobering statistics. And, you know, our goal here at the foundation, at the Progressive Agriculture Safety Day program, is to help bring those numbers down. And a lot of it is just a child, you know, curiosity on the farm. They love agriculture, which is great, and they want to be involved. But again, we need to make sure that any tasks that we're assigning the child is age appropriate, and also just have those conversations about safety, because, you know, we hear a lot about blind spots. You know, children think that they can be seen when they're out in the fields, and, you know, when you're in that tractor, that large equipment, it is hard to see the little one. So keeping things in mind like that is really, really important. And having those important conversations, because you're right, these numbers are staggering. And if you even look at the children visiting farms, I think the latest statistic was about 23.8 million children in recent years were visiting farms. So those are kids that have, maybe they're there on school field trips in past years. Maybe they're again, friends, coming to the farm, and those children, again, have no idea about the dangers. It is a very busy, active, and it can be a dangerous workplace. So those conversations, laying out those safety boundaries, are very important.
Well, and another thing as well that I fully agree with Jana, and it's something that you don't think about until you really stop and take a look at it, but you know, sending the correct messages are key. And you shared as well about, I remember this too. I mean, the sandbox that gets replaced with corn instead of sand, to me, that's just that's a nightmare for grain bin safety with children, Jana.
It really is. So one of our hot topics that we teach at our safety days is grain bin safety. And we do that in a variety of ways. Our biggest message to the children, stay out. You know, when you get older teens or even adults, I know that there's different messaging there about making sure, you know, the lockout, tag out, making sure someone always knows that you're in the grain bin, having all those safety features in place. But our biggest message is for children to stay out. That's no place to play. But when they visit, sometimes it's farm shows. Sometimes it is, you know, I think about seasonal activities. Maybe they're going to the pumpkin patch or maybe the farmer's market, and they want to have activities for children. So sometimes they'll replace that sandbox with corn. And again, that sends the wrong message. There are also just additional hazards there because, again, those can be germ-filled. Again, when you have corn there, it's going to attract animals. It's also going to attract germs and other things along with it. But the biggest thing is that messaging, because that child now thinks it's safe. It's giving them that false hope that, you know, you're going to be fine if you're in corn. And if you know that grain is like quicksand, that is one thing I have learned in my years here with the foundation, is how quick someone can be submerged in grain. It's a matter of seconds. And so giving them that false hope that grain is not going to be harmful, it can really be detrimental to that child. So I encourage you, you know, keep those sandboxes, keep sand in the sandboxes. I know it, you know, it might be harder to maintain, but really in the long run, keep these children safe and healthy and getting those correct messages. That's important.
Very, very important. And you mentioned as well that's grain bin safety, and just safety in general on the farm is one of the topics you cover with Progressive Agriculture Safety Days. And I think we should talk about that, of course, and refresh folks' memories on our safety days and how those all work to teach children around North America. Can you just kind of give us the rundown about safety days, Jana?
Absolutely. And I'm excited, Jesse, because we are getting back in the swing of things. So last year looked a little different. We went to a whole virtual model for our events, but now we're getting back in person after April 1st. So we have a lot of events going on here this week and into May. So what a safety day looks like. We are predominantly school-based now, which is really cool change to see over the last 27 years. We started as community-based events. They still are happening all over, but schools now have accepted our program as part of their regular school year as a regular field trip educational opportunity. And so our safety days are predominantly like 80 to 82% tied with a school. And so these events are happening now in the spring as the school years are winding up, and children come to the event, and what they do is they will attend different stations while they're at the safety day. So they'll spend about 15 to 20 minutes. Maybe they'll learn about grain bin safety, like we talked about earlier, maybe water safety, sun safety. We really encourage our coordinators to customize this based on the needs of their community. So what are the hot topics? What are you hearing about children getting injured most frequently from, or, you know, worst case scenario, what are some of these fatalities, and really target that with your community. And so at the end of the day, they visit maybe anywhere from 8 to 12 different topics, and they learn a variety of ways to keep themselves safe. But that's not where the education stops. We encourage them to go home, teach mom and dad, teach the grandparents, teach their siblings, because we can all use a refresher. And so it becomes the kids teaching the adults. And it's a great teachable moment there within the family and those important conversations. I always say a child should never come home from safety day and not have something to share that night with their parents, because they learn a lot.
I definitely learn a lot. And I know that folks can learn more about Progressive Agriculture Safety Days and the foundation by going online to progressiveag.org. That's progressiveag.org. And you can find their toll-free number there as well. And I always like to touch on this every now and then as well, but you guys are a 501c nonprofit. So you guys, you get help from donors all across North America to make safety days happen.
We sure do. We would not be able to do what we do and have the reach that we do, because we reach on, you know, an average year, nearly 100,000 children and adults with our messages. We have close to 400 events all throughout North America. And so those sponsors are dedicated to keeping families safe and healthy. And we are so honored that they invest in this program and allow us to do what we do. But, you know, folks that are listening in right now, they can also be a donor. They can help pay it forward in a sense and make a donation. We always say on average, it's about $13 to send a child through the safety day program. And that they're getting a lot for that. You know, that includes like their insurance that we provide for that child, the take home bag with a bunch of resources, the T-shirt, all of that curriculum that has been created. They're really getting a lot for that money. So folks can help send another child or send a few children onto a safety day in their backyard or, again, throughout North America. So it's very easy to make that donation. I think if we visit that website, progressiveag.org, they can make it happen.
Progressiveag.org can also text Safety Day to 44321 as well to make a donation to the Progressive Agriculture Foundation. And again, learn more at progressiveag.org. Jana Davidson, thanks for joining us for the April safety message for the Progressive Agriculture Foundation. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.